Let's get started with testimony. Representative Lanning, do you want to introduce your bill? Representative Lanning moves House File 1673 to be included in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill provides an annual appropriation of $10,000 for the next 2 years for the Legislators Forum. And let me tell you a little bit about what this is all about. The Legislators Forum was started 5 years ago, and we're coming up on our fifth annual meeting. It consists of eight legislators from Minnesota, eight from North Dakota, eight from South Dakota, and eight from Manitoba. In the case of Minnesota, there are four from the House, four from the Senate, and two Republicans and two Democrats in from each body. And it's bipartisan representation in North and South Dakota and Manitoba as well. The group, whole group meets annually, and our next annual meeting is coming up on the first few days of June this year. In the interim, we have a number of work groups, and there's a steering committee that kind of gives overall direction to this whole effort and helps plan the annual conference. What the Legislators Forum is all about is an attempt to build legislative relationships across the boundaries, where we get to know our counterparts from the other jurisdictions, where we share information about what's happening in each of our jurisdictions, and where we address transboundary issues, issues that are of general interest or concern to each of the jurisdictions. And we also try to build some consensus on some of the issues that we're facing that we can take back to our respective jurisdictions. Now, my two colleagues to the left here, Mary Ellen Otremba and Maxine Pennis, have been a member of the Legislators Forum from the very beginning, and I joined 2 years ago. Representative Gill is the other representative from the House. Some of the issues that we've been addressing in recent years include methamphetamine, and as a result of last year's Legislators Forum, we had some very good discussion about what's happening in each of the jurisdictions with regard to that important issue. And we helped to also spawn the first annual Governor George Center Public Policy Forum, which was held in Fargo, North Dakota back in December, that brought together people from all four jurisdictions to become better informed and knowledgeable about the methamphetamine issue. We also deal with water issues, and as I think you know, water is a very important and sensitive issue to those of us, particularly in northwest Minnesota and North Dakota and up into Manitoba. There are some rather contentious issues that are facing us, and this is a forum for us to get together and better understand each other's positions and hopefully work towards some solutions. We also have been dealing with energy issues, renewable energy, transmission issues with respect to that important matter that's now before this body. Animal health and food safety, tourism. In fact, the Legislators Forum helped to spawn the Two Nation Tour, which is an attempt for all four jurisdictions to come together and jointly promote tourism for our respective jurisdictions. We are also working on efforts to try and bring about a coordinated energy management program where the four jurisdictions would have some joint powers agreements or joint agreements, and how we might help each other out should there be a major emergency or disaster that we're facing. And another issue we've been dealing with is agricultural harmonization. Well, with that, Madam Chair and members, I'd appreciate it if Representative Otremba and Representative Pennis might also add their comments to this.
Representative Otremba.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As Representative Lanning has said, I've been a part of the Legislative International since its inception. And it has really given me an opportunity to build relationships with legislators in North Dakota and South Dakota and Manitoba, and has what happens is in depth we are some of our typical topics. And I remember last year's methamphetamine presentation. North Dakota has a pretty great program going on, and they did some really good in-depth stuff. Another thing Manitoba did was present their side of the prescription drug program and how it was working and why it wasn't working and why what their prices were. It's really nonpartisan. We all get together, all eight of us times four, and work side by side without any of the partisan piece of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I, too, have been with the Legislative Forum since it started. And the money that we're asking for is to take care of the expenses of holding this. In fact, it started out, the first forum was held in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and each state then, after the province, each state takes its turn. So then it was in St. Paul, the next time was South Dakota, and last year North Dakota. Now it's back up in Manitoba again. So each state or province is taking their turn at hosting this event. As Representative Altremba said, it is a very nonpartisan organization which does address the issues that are in common to the three states and the province. And for, I think, all of us in the state, that's very vital, because we're a very small world if we just take even those four entities and put them together. So I would certainly encourage the support of the legislature. It's money well spent, best bang for the buck type of deal. And we bring back then what the we have an idea of what the other states are doing. And the meth problem, as North Dakota addressed it, was excellent. And we find out just what is going on. For Representative Lanning and I, but also Representative Altremba is in that far end. Probably Representative Dill is the most remote. We're living right next to the borders. In my case, both the Canadian border and the North Dakota border. So we have to know what's going on. Thank you. And any questions, we'd be glad to answer.
Any questions from members? I just have one question. I'm just wondering, you'd mentioned that you'd all been on it for a while, and I was wondering if that, will you all be the same members on it until you retire or whatnot, or how does that process work?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Speaker makes those appointments.
Oh, okay.
And the appointments are made on a biennial basis, and so, in fact, all four of us are up for reappointment for the next 2 years.
Sure. Any other questions? Representative Kahn, I knew you were good for a question.
Yes, I'm not sure if anyone can answer this. I'm interested in why we have to appropriate money for this when we have a large ledge carry forward in our budget, which the governor has asked to have back, which I don't know that we need to get forward to. Do we need to pass this by law, or could it just be an appropriation from... Did we always pass a law to do this, or was it just an expense through the Rules Committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Lanning.
Representative Kahn. This, to my knowledge, is the first time that there would be an actual appropriation. If you look on the back side of this report that I have disseminated, in the past, the legislators have had to go begging to corporate sponsors to help make this possible. And it seems to me, it seems to us, that it would be far better for us to put this in our budget and have it be a state-supported effort rather than our having to go to corporate sponsors and asking for their support. As far as the Legislative Coordinating Commission budget, I can't speak to that.
Perhaps Greg Hubinger from the LCC could address the question.
Madam Chair?
Well,
on his way up.
Yep. Representative Solberg?
Go ahead.
And Representative Kahn? I don't know who wants the floor here.
Go ahead.
He may know something. Let him talk.
Well, I'm just curious if Solberg. This is for the expenses of the legislator or for actual expenses of the forum itself, to hold the forum, and I think that'd be two different expenditures.
Madam Chair?
Representative Lanning?
Representative Solberg, my understanding is that our expenses, our travel expenses, are picked up through our budgets, through the House budget. This is for the actual
forum itself
and for hiring the consultants that do all of the legwork, and we don't have a staff per se. We have to hire a firm that does that work on our behalf.
Madam Chair, I think that clarifies my concern about it, Joe.
Well, I totally,
Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, I just don't understand why we need to pass a bill. I just don't understand why this just can't be done through the House and Senate
LCC
budgets. You know, I think the LCC doesn't have a large carry forward, but both the House and the Senate does. And so,
Mr. Hubinger, did you want to address this question?
Madam Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. The LCC has played bits and pieces in a role with these forums. In 1998, the legislature appropriated $25,000 to support forums with and exchanges with the Manitoba and Ontario parliaments. The way that we affected that was to we granted that $25,000 to the Council of State Governments, and they have been sponsoring part of and paying for some of these costs of these forums over the last several years. There's about $10,000 left in that account. Traditionally, we try not to have ongoing expenses being paid out of carry forward accounts, since that's one time money, and I think that's the premise for this proposal.
Okay. Any other questions from members? Hearing no other questions, the chair will move House File 1673 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just for a point of information, all of us, this may be in trouble because we can understand 10,000. We can't understand 4 billion.
Yeah. Okay, next up we have House File 1135, Representative Hamilton. Representative Hamilton, I understand you have a delete all amendment.
Madam Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, I will move that the delete all amendment for House File 1135, the A3 amendment, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. You want to proceed?
All right, thank you, Madam Chairman and committee members. With this bill,
Chairman,
first of all,
it's not a delete all.
Pardon me?
I don't think one I have is.
No.
Not a delete all? Okay, well, I will just move the amendment be laid over for possible inclusion. We don't have to vote on it. We don't have to vote on this since it's being laid over for inclusion, possible inclusion.
Okay. Madam Chair, you should vote on put the amendment in.
You have to put the amendment in the bill.
You have to put the amendment in the bill.
Well, you have to wait to get a forum.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. Hopefully we'll get another member to straggle in here.
All right. Very good. Well, I tell you what, I'll talk about the bill and then as it is amended, if that's okay.
Yep. That would be fine by the committee.
We did have, first of all, this bill directs that any unexpended appropriations of the Department of Veterans Affairs for the County Veterans Service Officer Grant Program, I initially had it to be carried forward from one biennium to the next. That was pointed out to me that the carry forward authorization is likely to be problematic in the Ways and Means Committee. and basically because it undermines the state's biennial budget process. So what this amendment does say is that the commissioner is authorized to use any unexpended funding for this program to provide training and education for county veterans service officers. Madam Chairman, I do have the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Affairs here also to testify and answer any questions you may have.
Mr. McPugliese?
Good morning. Yes, ma'am.
Please proceed.
As Representative Hamilton said, basically what this bill will do is allow the department to use any unexpended funds, which often there aren't any, but sometimes there's a few hundred to a couple of thousand dollars left over. We'll be able to use that to provide education and training opportunities for our county veteran service officers in the forms of seminars, bringing in speakers on post-traumatic stress disorder, providing them some assistance in doing their job a little bit better so that they can serve the veteran community a little bit better. So it's a great opportunity to provide additional education and training to the CVSOs, especially at this time when we have a lot of young men and women returning home with many complex disabilities.
Great. Representative Hahn?
Madam Chairman, what are these grants used for ordinarily?
Representative Pepin, Representative Kahn, the grants...
Mr. Pugliese?
Thank you, ma'am. The grants are used for them to improve the process and the assistance they already provide in their counties.
No, I'm not looking for the new use. I'm looking for what the existing. That's the...
Representative Kahn, that is the main use of the grant is to improve the effectiveness and the efficiencies of the CVSO offices. Now, the leftover money we're talking about would be used to provide additional education and training.
Representative Kahn.
Well, from my discussion with veterans, it seems to me, and then particularly, I don't even think we've seen the tip of the iceberg of it, it seems to me there are really serious problems and financial difficulties to the veterans themselves. And I just wonder if the money wouldn't be better spent in expanding those programs rather than expanding the programs of the people who ought to be well trained. And I'm not sure that they're under any kind of I don't think they're under the same financial stress that the returning veterans themselves are. And I would hesitate to put money into the bureaucracy when we ought to be putting it into giving it in direct service to the veterans.
Representative Pepp and Representative Kahn, we're really only talking about a few hundred dollars to a couple of thousand to serve 460,000 veterans in Minnesota. It's going to provide training opportunities so that when these veterans do come into the CVSO office, they will know how to best serve these veterans so that they can take advantage of the federal benefits which they're entitled to. So it will, in essence, provide a service to these veterans so that they will be able to get more income from the federal government, eligibility for medical care through the VA medical centers.
Okay. Madam Chairman, then the next question is, are we going to at some point see what this amount of money is when we're doing our omnibus bill?
Mr. Pugliese?
Representative Pepin, Representative Kahn, I think I would defer to Helen Roberts for that question.
Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I'm sorry. The total amount for training?
Or? No, the amount of money that they're trying to cap for this argument of how much is left over from their, what's expected, that unexpended amount, what is that expected to be?
Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I'm sorry, we did have a fiscal note on the original version of this bill, which would have been the carry forward authority, and there was, I believe, $118,000 that was projected to carry forward into 05, and then from then on it would have been, I believe, $4,000 per year was the estimated amount.
Oh. Representative Kahn.
So the 05... That means that going into the next budgeting session, it's only 4,000. Is that correct? Or is it 118,000?
Ms. Roberts.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I believe it would have been 118,000 that would have been carried forward from the end of this biennium, fiscal year 05 into 06, and then projected in future years, carried forward at the end of the next biennium, they were projecting only $4,000.
Well, That's a big difference, because if it's $4,000, that's a small amount of money. If we're talking about $118,000, and maybe our ventures will stop and so those numbers will get smaller, I think $118,000 is not an insignificant amount of money. And I would feel more comfortable putting that into direct service to veterans. The difference between whether we're talking about $4,000 or $118,000 is a big difference to me.
Representative Pepper, Representative Kahn, if the carry forward authority was in this bill, there would have been $118,000. That was a one-time amount that we were allowed to carry forward from the last biennium. But that's not built into the bill, so there won't be that $118,000. All we're talking about is right on this year, $4,000. Last year there was zero carry forward money left, or any money left over in that fund. We're projecting anywhere from a few hundred dollars. $4,000 is the most we've seen left over in this fund in probably 10 years. So we don't expect to see a lot of money left over in this fund.
Representative Helpe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, just to straighten this out, do I understand correctly that the amendment was intended to be a delete-all amendment?
Madam Chairman?
That's correct, I believe.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I'd like to offer that up as a delete-all amendment.
Okay, we're working on the...
Okay,
maybe Mr. Shepard can address that.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, the way that the amendment should be drafted, if you look on the A3 amendment, if you cross out line 2 of that amendment, and instead of line 2, write in there, delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. And then instead of on line 3 where it says section 2, make that section 1. So then this would be a delete everything amendment, and this would be the entire bill. And then at the end, we'd amend the title accordingly.
And so,
Representative Helpe?
That being the case, the amendment, or then the bill, refers to grants awarded under this program. Mr. Puglisi, could you describe what that means? What is this program and what does it do?
Mr. Puglisi?
Certainly, Representative Pepin, members. The grant is structured to provide the County Veteran Service officers with an opportunity to apply for certain amounts of money based upon the veteran population of their county. Based upon their population, they're entitled to either $1,200, $2,800, $3,600, or $4,800 on a three-year rotating cycle. So every CVSO office is entitled to get that amount of money every 3 years. They have to use it to provide equipment for their offices, which is going to enhance their efficiencies, such as computerization efforts, possibly printers, anything that's going to make them do their job a little bit better. As I said, it's on a three-year rotating cycle. So that's why very rarely is there any money left over. They only get a small amount every 3 years. They usually use it all up. But every now and then, instead of using the full $3,600, the computer might only cost $34.99, so there's $100 there left over. When you look at all the counties together, it might add up to several hundred to a few thousand dollars. Rather than turn that back in, they came forward and said, we could really use additional training opportunities. Can we see if we can get this money to provide us additional training so that we're more educated on how to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder, from people missing several limbs returning back from Iraq and Afghanistan? That's why we brought this bill forward.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Helpe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Mr. Puglisi, what kind of training do they get beyond this? I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to be doing?
Madam Chair, members, we do provide ongoing training to the County Veteran Service Officers. We're getting ready to have a spring conference next month. We have a fall conference for them. We do provide training opportunities throughout the year. We certainly don't have enough money to provide enough training opportunities for the CVSOs, especially with the current conflict and everybody coming back. There's a lot of new complex disabilities they're returning home with, traumatic brain injuries, post-traumatic stress disorder. We could do a better job, and this will allow us to do a better job of training them.
Representative Kahn, with the influx of returning veterans with the problems that you've listed, had you asked for an increased appropriation for the basic grant program
Do we see that in the budget? Is that a line item in the budget that we'll see?
Representative Putnam, members, that is not a line item in the budget, but there is a certain amount that is dedicated for CVSO grants.
Madam Chairman, I'm not interested in the CVSO grants. I'm actually interested in what's going to the returning veterans themselves.
Okay.
And is that an item in the budget, and do we get to see that? And my next question is, why shouldn't we just totally cancel this and just beef that one up? Or why shouldn't we just beef both of them up if that's what's needed?
Madam Chair, members, there is a certain amount that is dedicated to go to the State Soldiers Assistance Program, which the department uses to provide benefits and services to veterans. That we are not looking for an increase to that fund. We have not asked for one.
Well, Madam Chair, why haven't you asked for one with this great increase of returning veterans with increased problems? You know, I'm kind of astounded that you haven't asked for it. You didn't even ask for it when it went into the finance process?
Mr. Puglisi?
Madam Chair, members, we certainly could use additional funding to provide veterans. We did not ask for it because right now we're trying to be a part of the solution to the deficit.
I appreciate that.
Well,
Mr. Puglisi. Representative Kahn.
I wasn't one of the people who thought we ought to go to war. But once we decided we should, I sure ought to think we ought to be supporting the people who are bearing the brunt of this and not just saying it's something to increase the deficit.
Madam Chair, members, Representative Kahn, if you were willing to offer a bill to provide an increase to that fund, I'm sure the veteran community would be very grateful and they could use it.
We don't need to do bills in this division. We write the appropriations bill, and that would be good enough. But I guess I'm a little concerned about you coming in and asking for an appropriation to increase the essentially appropriation using carry hold or unexpended to increase programs when you haven't asked for an increase in the appropriation for the basic purpose of what the programs are supposed to do. And I think everyone ought to recognize that there's got, and you know, anyone who reads the newspapers probably even one day a week has got to understand that the problems are possibly worse than from any conflict we've ever had before. And the idea that we're not going to put an increase into that is kind of appalling to me.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Kahn, I understand your concerns. There's no question about it. The hardships that not only the people overseas but also the families are going through is greatly disturbing, the sacrifices that they're making. One thing that this bill does is does allow for these dollars to help train the educators, train the trainers at a county level, at a local level. That's what we're asking for. We want to make sure that when these people do come home, that they also have the support system in place once they're back, again, at the county or at the local levels.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. A little housekeeping here. We do have a quorum now, so I'll call this meeting to order at 8:56, excuse me.
Gee, the other chairman usually does a better job than that.
I know. He set a bad precedent. Representative Goldberg.
Madam Chair, sir, the federal government obviously is providing substantial funds for veterans that are coming back with problems. As I read in the paper, however, some of those funds are scheduled to be cut by the Bush administration and Congress as they are coming forward. As you are training your officers out there to access the programs and the funds that these vets needed, if the funds aren't there, what good does the training do? With the federal government cutting huge amounts in services to the veterans that are coming back, how do you anticipate being able to meet the needs of the vets?
Mr. Puglisi?
Madam Chair, members, that's an excellent question. The appropriation that the federal government's looking at would reduce mainly funding for the veterans' homes. It's looking at increasing the co-payments for prescription medications through the VA medical centers and starting an enrollment fee for treatment through the VA medical center. It's not going to affect the compensation that veterans can receive for their disabilities or the pension that they receive or the educational benefits or a lot of the medical treatment they can receive for their service-related disabilities. So those programs are still going to remain intact. If it goes through, it would mainly affect the veterans' homes and some eligibility for the medical centers. So the CVSOs are still going to need to be very well trained in order to maximize the federal benefits that these veterans are eligible for.
But, Madam Chair, and sir, in my area, many times the veteran services are accessing the homes and the hospitals down here for their vets, and if those are being cut, it seems like that's, first of all, it's surely the wrong way to support veterans. I get really upset when veterans are yah yah rah rah, and then the person that they support cuts their benefits. Tell me how that the training of these people is going to help veterans access those, other than saying, "Boy, now you got to pay."
Mr. Puglisi?
Representative Pepp and members, that's a great point. Getting veterans into the veterans' homes is a very small portion of what county veteran service officers do. The majority of the work that they do is providing services to veterans, helping them develop their claims for federal benefits, mainly compensation, pension, medical eligibility. They help them gather the evidence to put it all together so that when they submit the application, it's complete so that they can go through quickly and get adjudicated quickly and favorably. The homes is a very small portion of what they do.
Madam Chair, maybe a small portion,
Goldberg.
But it's an extremely important portion for those that are least able to take care of themselves that have served our country well. Madam Chair, just one other question.
Representative Silver.
Maybe this is to Ms. Roberts. In this program, grants to the counties of $1,228, how much is designated in our budget for that? Do we know?
Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair, Representative Silver. Two things. One, the way that the legislature has appropriated money to the Veterans Affairs Department in recent years, we haven't designated a certain amount for this program. I think in the 2003 session, the department was given largely an department-level appropriation with a couple riders unrelated to this. But I do track down to this level, and currently the base for the CVSO grants is $95,000 per year.
And, Madam Chair, Ms. Roberts, is that what the request is from the department for this year to 95 per year?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, that is included in the total funding request for the department. Again, they would be allowed the flexibility to spend that money within different programs if the legislature continued to appropriate at a higher level.
Madam Chair, my question then is a little bit as the unneed for the bill. If we appropriate a large part, and we don't appropriate a rider to that, doesn't the department have the flexibility to spend it, or is this going into the next, or what little bit is left going into the next biennium that they want to be able to do?
Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I think there's a couple things at work here. In general, yes, the department has, if the legislature continues to appropriate at that kind of higher level, giving the department maximum flexibility, they do have the ability to do that. I believe that this bill originated, though, in order to clarify an auditor's comments. I don't know if it was an official finding, but the language related to this program was changed significantly in the 2003 session, and there just was some concern about just making it absolutely clear that the department would have the ability to spend this money for training as well as for the grants for computer systems and things like that. And I think Mr. Puglisi can
so,
add
anything. So, Madam Chair, Mr. Robertson, this is more of a clarification of what they can use that money for. In addition to the grants, they can use it some of it for training. Then what kind of controls it would be, what would prevent the department in the future if we do this to put it all into training and nothing into grants for the counties?
Madam Chair, members, if I may.
Mr. Puglisi.
The language would only allow us to use any unexpended funds on the grant. So if the CDSOs elect not to take advantage of the grant in 1 year or do not use the total amount that they're allowed, whatever's left over, we would be allowed to use for additional training and education opportunities. So they're all going, they all put in for the grant. They usually always get it, but there's sometimes a couple of $100 left over. Whatever's left over, we would be allowed to use to provide additional training opportunities. Before, it used to go back into the general fund. Now we'd be able to keep that few hundred to a few thousand dollars to provide more training.
Okay.
Representative Kahn.
Last question is, how with an appropriation of $95,000, how did you ever get a carry forward of $118,000?
Mr. Puglisi?
That's an excellent question.
Well, if we could do that with some few other places, we'd have the deficit.
That would be good.
Funny math.
Helen, if you could help me out with this, so that would be great.
Mr. Puglisi.
We used to get more money, Representative
Kahn. Just before we start, just
Representative Kahn
points out Representative Solberg's comment is that whenever anyone comes in with something that's billions, we just get rid of it right away because we don't understand it.
Right.
But, you know, 95,000, 118,000, 4,000, those are numbers we can all understand and know how we would use. So we really focus it, do a good job on those.
Yes, that's good. Yep. Mr. Puglisi.
Madam Chair, members, this program was restructured a few years ago as a result of budget reductions throughout all state agencies. They used to be money built in to provide for a position to go out there and actually provide additional training. I believe it was last biennium, the governor allowed carry forward money from one biennium to the next biennium. Mm-hmm. So there was, for a while, that we were getting more money in this fund. There was some money that was building up. It built up to a certain point. It was allowed to be brought forward from one biennium to the next, and that's where we sit now. That's why originally we were seeking some carry forward authority so that we wouldn't lose that whole 118 we could have used for some additional opportunities, but as we all understand, it's frowned upon. So we thought the next best thing was to at least be able to use from now into the future any remaining funds.
Well,
so to answer your question, it was an accumulation from a few years, and then we had that carry forward from one biennium to the next, and that's how we came up with that large.
And Chairman,
Representative Kahn,
maybe Ms. Roberts can. I still don't understand how you could ever accumulate $118,000 out of $95,000.
Madam Chair, members, it used to be a much larger. We used to have a lot more than 95. As I said, that was as a result of the budget reductions. That's why it's 95 now. It used to be, I believe, somewhere around $246,000 or something per year.
Representative Solberg.
This isn't a question, but we probably should put the bill in its order. I don't think we voted on the amendment yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
But we should please do that if you want to.
Okay. Well, again, I remind motion that House File 1135 be considered for,
no,
be laid over for possible inclusion, and that the I will move the amendment labeled House File 1135A3 with the following amendment change. Delete line 2. Insert delete everything after the enacting clause. In addition, on line 3, change section 2 to section 1. Everybody understand the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment passes. Questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Mori.
Mr. Puglisi, I think I'm finally starting to get your name right, and now there's a new commissioner. In fact, my question comes up because I was talking to him on Friday, and I met with the head Veterans Service Officer for Hennepin County for quite a while, and actually talked to a woman. I didn't even know that the woman said that she was rejected from the Legion, even though she was in you know, she was in the combat zone as an infantry person, and the Legion wouldn't take her in because she was a woman, apparently, which I didn't know they did. But
they shouldn't.
Anyhow, as you know, there's another program that the department did, trying to get at people that are not coming in for services because they aren't in the regular Legions and VFWs. And I know it's already been heard in the Senate, and I'm just concerned at trying to... This looks like money that could maybe possibly better, after talking to the commissioner, this money maybe, and the veteran service officer, this money could maybe be better served in that program. And we're not voting on this morning, but I'd like to get a little input in the next week and a half or a couple of weeks when we have this, on how these all fit together. Because I was getting from the commissioner and the veteran service officer the idea that this other thing is very important for getting veterans their benefits that aren't getting any right now.
Madam Chair, Representative Mullery, you're correct. That's our number one priority at this time. It would be outreach to minority veterans, female veterans, and homeless veterans, and there's a great need for that. And there is a bill that's been introduced in the House. I believe Representative Tinglestad is offering that bill. So hopefully we'll be hearing it in her committee, and hopefully this committee as well. The CVSOs were hoping with this bill that they would be provided some additional training opportunities. So that's how it was brought and drafted forward. It doesn't have to be just for that. We could take that part out of the bill and just allow the commissioner to use those unexpended funds on whatever program he sees fit at the time. And sure, we probably would then use it in more of an outreach way. But as this was brought forward by the CVSOs, they were looking for more training opportunities, which are needed. It's not a large amount of money. We thought that this would be the most appropriate way to go forward with it.
Madam Chair,
Representative Mullery?
Thank you. I want to work with whatever turns out to be the best for the veterans that need the services.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions? Hearing no further questions. House file 1135, as amended, will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Wardlow, are you ready? Yeah. The chair moves House File 858 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Senator Wardlow?
Good morning, members. Well, today I'm pushing for the common man. I have a bill that wants to rename the state office building with the name of Edward A. Burdick State Office Building. And the reason I'm doing so is I know there's been many bills want to name it after Ronald Reagan or Toya Knudsen or maybe a later date Paul Wellstone. But as much as I love Reagan, he's not a Minnesota guy, and he didn't do anything for the House here. I just think Edward A. Burdick, when I took my bill around and got signatures on it, I think I got up to 31 names, and then I heard some bills were going in, so I threw it in the hopper real quick, and there was more Democrats on that bill than Republicans. And the man he started as a page in 1941, 1943 became the head page, 1947 he went to the chief clerk's desk. I think you've got some information on him distributed. And then in 1967, he was elected chief clerk, and he's been elected chief clerk ever since until he retired in January 10th of 2005. The man is probably one of the most revered, respected persons in the House. very few times does any building get named after a staff person. That's what Ed was. He was a staff person who rose to prominence as the most renowned chief clerk in the country. You know, he didn't write this book, The Mason's Manual, but he can sure quote it verse by verse, almost from memory. And how many times have we seen in my tenure Speaker Swiggin lean over and ask for a ruling? If you look at those statute books behind on the wall over there, how many laws has Ed Burdick got his finger on because he guided it successfully through the legislature? And I just think if there's ever a chance to put the common man's name on a building who truly deserved it with 63, 64 years of service to the state of Minnesota, this is it. If you, he's even written about in the Star Trib, Lori Sturtevant spoke. He said that she says the ideal name, speaking about what the name a building, the ideal name would be that of someone best remembered for service in the House. That's what Ed did. He was in on the House floor, but at the state office building, what's it comprised of? Mostly representatives. A few people from the state auditor's office, a few people from minority Senate folks, a few people from administration. Mostly, it's people that work for the House. You know, the physical analysts, the research people. And if you walk into the chamber, you'll see his bust on the left. And just think of the history. You know, some kid says, who's that guy again? Ed Burdick. Oh, he's the guy's name on the building. What'd he do? And then, well, he must be something special. And he's a guy for the common man, I think. But she goes on to say, the ideal name would be that of someone best remembered for service in the House, one so highly regarded that people of both major parties would want to preserve his or her memory. Who's on the list? And further down it says, I was stumped until last Monday, way back when we did this resolution for him. That's when more than 200 past and present House members crammed their chamber to cheer with one voice the service of one man, House Chief Clerk Ed Burdick. And he finally spurned years of blandishments to stay on and retired this year at age 83. When he learned I was offering this bill, he sent me this card and wrote me a note just thanking me for my efforts. And I'll charge you this card more than I would. I've got one that's signed by some other important people in our Congress. This means more to me than knows. So I don't know what else to tell you. I just want you to know that if you vote against Ed Burdick, you're voting against the common man, the tireless worker, the common labor who's really done well, and I'll let you do what you want.
Thank you, Representative.
If I vote for this, am I voting for a tax increase?
Senator Solberg?
Absolutely not.
Okay, because most other things are tax increases.
There is, Madam Chair.
Representative Wardlaw.
The physical note says it costs $50,000 to $100,000, and I've been told that no appropriation will be required for that small of amount.
Representative Wardlow, is there a reason we pick Ed Burdick over the Representative Lauren Solberg?
Yeah.
Building
out. Well, that's the reasons why. I'm sure, in all seriousness.
It's a conundrum.
In all seriousness, in the fiscal note, for the, why is it that the increase in rent is going to happen in 08, 09 because of this bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, the way that the fiscal note is showing $100,000 in expenditures in fiscal year 06, and that would be the maximum, I think, the estimate.
Sure.
It was between $50,000 and $100,000. That expenditure would be paid for out of the Plant Management Revolving Fund in the Department of Administration. That is the revolving fund that is used to maintain and pay for the buildings in the most of the buildings in the Capitol Complex. And those lease rates have already been set for the for fiscal year 06 and 07. And you'll see on the fiscal note, the assumption is that those lease rates would not be changed because they've already been established and approved. But this additional expense would be considered when calculating the state office building lease rates for fiscal year 2008 and 2009. So again, I believe this is pretty much the high end of the picture. If you're, I'm not sure that in reality with the revolving fund would not be able to absorb a portion of this, and that they would have to ask for an increase in their rates. And in fact, for the SOB, the majority of the rent is actually paid through a general fund appropriation that then goes to the plant management revolving fund, it's known as that, in lieu of rent appropriation. So there would be a possibility that they would be asking for some kind of increase in that appropriation in fiscal year 08 or in 09, but I believe that's kind of the worst case scenario in this situation.
Madam Chair,
Representative Solberg.
But this, if they did do this, would it be an ongoing increase for maintenance?
Okay. Mr. Roberts?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, the fiscal note doesn't specify that. I can clarify that with admin, but I can't imagine what the ongoing maintenance of a sign would be.
I was doing the same thing. Particularly to the point of $50,000 a year. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, just one
Representative
final
Warlow.
When the revisor got my message about writing this bill, he said, he called me back and the next day and said, I get a lot of bills that I really don't want to write, but I do the best job I can. He said, when I got this bill, I started grinning from ear to ear. He couldn't wait to write it. So.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wardlow, I presume some consideration has been given to the other implications of renaming a building. I know when we changed the address of the building, all of the printed material, all the stationery, business cards, etc., needed to be changed to reflect that. I don't know what the total cost of that was. I think it was probably considerable. Do you have any idea what the cost involved in this kind of change would be for all of the occupants of the building? Being that it would be a different address?
Yeah. Madam Chair?
Representative Wardlow.
I didn't consider that part that much. I just know that whoever you name the building after, that's going to happen. And if that's that important to you, then we shouldn't name the building after anybody. But as far as how much it costs, for all the, I would think maybe you could let the literature stay until it's gone, and then print new from then on. But that can't be done in all cases. But.
Representative Kahn.
Well, I'll just point out from a recent story of something that happened to me is that that's a very bad alternative. For example, I needed to catch a taxi from here to go to the airport at one point, and I just. My L.A. picked up an old piece of stationery and told going to meet right in front of the state office building, and she said Constitution Avenue instead of Martin Luther King. And the taxi driver was a little bit late, and when he came, he said, well, the problem was that somebody gave me the wrong address. But you have to use the new name. Now, as a former New Yorker who knows that allegedly, 6th Avenue has been Avenue of the Americas for half a century. You can tell any taxi driver that you want to go to 6th Avenue and they know where to go.
I've been there.
So it's kind of this problem of name changes, I guess, in the days of computerized directions and people not knowing cities that they're driving in is not an insignificant problem.
I guess that, you know, you make a good point, except that the street's the same, and it still says state office building, so they'll
right.
probably get it pretty close to right. You know, they'll just see that verdict on top and see state office building on the bottom. That might be a clue that they're in the right place. But you know, you make good points.
Any other questions for members? Hearing no other questions. House file number 858 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you, Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, members.
Representative Lane.
Madam Chair, members, House File 1778. I would like to move House File 1778 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Register.
Representative Blaine, we have to act on Senate File 621. I am told 1621.
Madam Chair, that is that's fine. We can go off to the Senate File language is the same.
So you will move 16.
Senate File 1621.
To Ways and Means, I believe. So would you like to move your...
Madam Chair, I would like to move Senate File 1621 to recommended pass and be moved to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, please proceed.
Madam Chair and members, Senate File 1621 is a very simplistic bill. What has happened is we've found through the state auditor that we need to clarify the language in statute that allows Camp Ripley to be able to continue to rent their and lease their facilities, some of their facilities in the cantonment area. And so basically that's all this House file does, will allow Department of Military Affairs to continue to lease building space there to pertinent parties. Right now, the Minnesota State Patrol, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, I believe the Minnesota Police Officers, Peace Officers Association, and others, firefighters, EMTs, utilize some space at Ripley and some of the facilities at Ripley for training and for educational purposes. They've done this for a great number of years and have great working relationships with the Department of Military Affairs and certainly the staff at Ripley. We would like to continue to be able to offer those facilities for training and education at Ripley. Certainly, Ripley has no problems with this. The Department of Military Affairs has no problems with this, but it's just to clarify that that they have the ability to be able to do that. And so, Madam Chair and members, that is actually the gist of this file.
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, just some points of clarification. This bill, as I read it, would allow the facility to be rented for all kinds of purposes, as without any kind of a not just for the purposes that you have stated that have been going on there. Is that the case?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, Camp Ripley, the camp commander and Department of Military Affairs and basically the Camp Ripley community have, in the past number of years have made it a point to be an outreach to the residents of Morrison, Cass, Crow Wing counties, to be able to utilize their facilities out there.
Madam Chair, Representative Brain, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about would this be allow, let's say, the Department of Education then to go up and rent the camp for a retreat or some other governmental official agency?
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I think that would be up to the purview of the Department of Military Affairs and leadership at Ripley.
Well, Madam Chair, my concern is that we and the United States government then is in competition with private people that are offering that service as well. I know that I have a Rutgers facility at Sugar Lake that is built with the idea of conferences, and some of the they have expressed concern that the state of Minnesota or the federal government renting this facilities are in competition with them. And as I look at this bill, it says merely that the rental shall be for payment of increased utility maintenance and other operating costs of being rented. Not does not include anything that we would normally think of as the cost of in business. It's merely the some of the small costs of the maintenance, the incidental costs for the rental. So that's my only concern about this. If you're using it to, for training facilities for firefighting and that kind of thing, that's probably an appropriate use of the facility. And if they open it up to the residents, that's seems reasonable. But my only concern is I don't want them to be in competition with my private business people that are also have a great deal of investment in offering that service.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I understand your concern. I also have a lot of those same type of family run businesses in my district. I think of Rutgers up in Bay Lake. Certainly, the intent by this legislation and by Department of Military Affairs and Camp Ripley bringing this forward is certainly not to get into the competition business with or competition for business with private business out there. Representative Solberg, I think when I mention use of facilities out there. Groups like the State Patrol and the Minnesota Peace Officers, Peace and Police Officers Association, utilize facilities there, such as the shooting range, such as their training structures there for that are used by groups for terrorism training and also some of their other educational buildings out there. When I mentioned the general public being able to utilize facilities there, we're talking more about the chapel that is located at on Camp Ripley's facilities there, and there's a number of residents of Morrison County and Crow Wing County that that are married at the chapel at Ripley. There's a number of people who are buried at the cemetery and funerals that take place there. We have organizations like the Boy Scouts, church groups that utilize the rec center to play basketball during the summer, too.
Madam Chair,
I
was aware of the fact, and staff pointed out the citation that, and I opposed it at the time, of 15.053, which says that the Camp Ripley is supposed to be encouraged to be used by state agencies for rental in direct competition to your and my business people as well. I don't know how much they're doing that, but would you be amenable to a repeal of 15.053? And that's probably a little bit of an unfair question because you haven't been able to read that, but it does say it's a state agency are encouraged to use the Camp Ripley facility for their seminars in direct competition to our private people.
Yeah, I, Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, I'd certainly be willing to look at that, but Madam Chair, maybe for the committee's benefit, maybe I should ask Colonel Shields and anyone from the Department of Military Affairs if they'd like to comment on your point, Representative Solberg.
Welcome to the committee, Colonel Shields. Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Solberg, we're aware of that citation, certainly. And I would submit to you that Camp Ripley is probably a poor comparison to Rutgers or any of the other marvelous resorts that are in the Brainerd Lakes region. Now, I think it really goes to what does an agency, what does a state agency want to accomplish during a retreat. I would tell you that the Department of Veterans Affairs, for example, is bringing the leaders of the newly elected leaders of all the veterans organizations to Camp Ripley for a couple of days because they have a direct interest in what goes on up there, and that's probably an appropriate use for a state agency. If the Department of Education needs to do an off-site and wants to do some team building and things like that, I would suggest to you that Camp Ripley probably isn't an adequate site for that. And, I recall the citation. I haven't looked at it in a long, long time because it hasn't been an issue. But I think all it does is it encourages state agencies to consider Camp Ripley. And some do and some don't. It just it depends on what they're trying to accomplish.
Madam Chair.
Senator Silver.
You would not be an object, or you would not object to us repeating that section, cleaning up our statutes a little bit.
Colonel Shields.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, we certainly have no objection.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Hilty? Representative Hilty?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Blaine, Colonel Shields, I believe that this bill is more about where the money goes than anything else. How much is generated in these rentals currently, approximately?
Colonel Shields?
Madam Chair, Representative, first of all, let me make a comment, sir, on the intent of the bill. It's not about where the money goes. What it's about is clarifying language in statute to satisfy the legislative auditor to a past practice that we've been doing for years and years. The money that's collected basically goes to the federal government. So someone's got to pay. If a non-military use is taking place with the majority of our facilities at Camp Ripley, someone has to pay the federal government. So either the user pays or the Department of Military Affairs pays, or we don't rent the facilities and agencies aren't able to take advantage of the unique opportunities that Camp Ripley offers.
Well, Madam Chair, Colonel Shields, the bill provides for where money goes. It specifies three uses of the money, the last of which is maintenance and improvement of buildings or other facilities at Camp Ripley. So my question is approximately how much is generated that can be put to this use?
Colonel Shields?
Madam Chair, Representative, I apologize. I didn't answer that part of your question. It varies from year to year. We have some long-term tenants, the Department of Public Safety with the State Highway Patrol Academy. The Department of Natural Resources, their enforcement division, has a permanent presence at Camp Ripley, and they train all of our conservation officers. It really varies, and I can get with you offline later on today to give you a precise history. But on the low end, probably $100,000 a year. Not sure what the high end would be. You know, it's highly dependent on how many law enforcement agencies or other state agencies or the general public that use the facility. But low end, about $100,000 a year.
And Madam Chair, Colonel, is that where the money has been going? And what the intent here is just to legitimatize something that you've been doing all along.
basically.
Madam Chair, Representative, that is correct. We don't plan on changing anything in terms of a fiscal impact. There isn't a fiscal note wasn't even asked for this bill. It's really to really meet a recommendation that the legislative auditor brought to us during the last audit, which I think was a year ago or a year and a half ago.
Thank you.
Representative Solberg.
Is the track of this bill two ways and means from here?
Correct.
I would like to move that we repeal Minnesota Statute 16.053. Is that the right number? And then it's kind of a meaningless statute in some respect because it just says encourage, but I think it also does have a little bit of a effect of not renting things to pay for the government to the federal government as opposed to my private business person and to your private business person. So I would move that and include that in this bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative Blaine.
Representative Solberg, I will look to staff here to give us the appropriate place to have that structured in this legislation.
Mr. Shepard.
Madam Chair and members, the amendment would be on page 1 after line 23 to insert section 2 and then a headnote repealer. Minnesota Statute Section 15.053 is repealed, and then we'd amend the title of the bill accordingly. I will write this down for Mr. Miller.
Section, what was that?
Madam Chair,
I
do not mean to do any harm to Representative Blaine's bill, but I do think that that would clarify that state agencies don't have to pay to the federal government and compete against our businesses.
Madam Chair?
Colonel Seals? We're working on the technical aspect of this. Waiting for the language. Well, Representative Krenke?
Madam Chair, I would just, to Representative Solberg, since you're amending the Senate file, Representative Solberg, then what we're going to do here is we're going to obviously, this legislation would have to go back to the Senate again. So
they can either then, Madam Chair, Representative Krenke, agree with it or go to conference committee.
No, I understand that, Representative Solberg. Just as I said, I don't know the with regard to the Senate author, and I mean again, I guess the question is maybe to Representative Blaine, what is the need and how soon does this need to get passed? I mean, is there any reason to expedite what's going on here?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Krenke, I think regardless of what happens with this legislation, to be honest with you, Camp Ripley and the Department of Military Affairs are going to keep conducting business as they have. I certainly don't believe it's Representative Solberg's intent. Certainly is not my intent to damage any of the operations that have been proceeding at Ripley in the past or could proceed in the future. This hasn't been brought to us because the Department of Military Affairs or Colonel Weaver and his staff at Camp Ripley want to expand their purview or anything else. This bill is basically before this committee because the legislative auditor found a glitch in statute had suggested to the Department of Military Affairs that this language be clarified, and basically
that's all that this House or Senate file does. You know, I respect Representative Solberg's concern about maybe cleaning up existing statute that encourages Camp Ripley to compete with private business out there. I agree with you that way, but I certainly in my experience in dealing with the Department of Military Affairs and staff from Ripley that they have not engaged in the practice of trying to garnish business away from the private sector and funnel it towards Ripley, but more to fully utilize the facilities that they have there for the good of the people of the state of Minnesota through Department of Public Safety, through the Department of Natural Resources and others, and they have unique facilities out there that have been tremendously helpful to many of these state agencies, and I think I encourage those agencies to continue to be able to use those facilities for training and education.
Madam Chair.
Representative Solberg, I have a question for you.
Sure.
To keep this bill clean and moving through the process, would you consider changing it in the omnibus bill?
Madam Chair, that's exactly what I was going to say. Okay. Why don't I withdraw my amendment, let this one go through, and then put it in the omnibus bill. I think that'd be the proper thing,
okay.
Since it is a Senate file as well. And I will withdraw my amendment.
And I don't think you formally made an amendment, so we don't have to vote on that, correct?
Well, I made an amendment, but I withdrew it, so it's not before you. I don't have to vote on that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Hearing no further questions, Representative Blaine renews his motion that Senate File 1621 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Is there any other housekeeping business? Hearing no other business, the meeting is now adjourned.